Cubberty on 2FM with Super Value Travel Insurance. Holidaying at home or abroad? Don't worry about a thing with Great Value Travel Insurance at supervalue.ie.
What's that? It's my shopping list.
Is that a sign of age though, Ryan?
It's actually a sign of age.
I do it myself, actually.
Fire lighters and bin bags.
I do it myself.
You do that, do you?
I do write lists now, yeah.
No, just when I had a minute during there, that song is quite long.
And I need lists.
Scratch down
more
lists.
More and more.
But yeah, on the back of envelopes and things.
I'm going back to an old-fashioned diary this year. I've discovered my iPhone diary keeps deleting all my appointments.
It does do that,
like,
which is quite annoying.
I was looking back over it, doing my tax, trying to remember all these appointments and, you know, it's like things I had done.
Yeah.
And they're all gone.
Why do they do that? They erase. I thought you could flick back and say, yeah, I remember I did that day and that
it
day.
It goes to your computer, apparently, but I kept deleting the emails I got, but I should have been saving them. So I've bought myself an old-fashioned diary for next year.
I think
I'm
you're
going
dead
to
right.
handwrite it.
That's a really good idea. Yeah, appointments and things you've done.
Yeah,
as opposed to Dear Diary, you're not doing an Anne Frank in it now, you're not doing the full whack.
No, I don't think my life is interesting enough for memoirs yet, is it?
You're not being pursued by the Nazis just yet.
No.
51552, how's everything going? The TV show's going great, by the way. Well
it
done.
It finished last night. Last night was the last one. It went great, but the feedback has been really good.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. It looked great.
Thank you. Yeah, I was happy. I was away for quite a lot of it, actually. But, you know, the Twitter feeds and stuff, people have been really positive. So great. Really
good. That was nice, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's that done. I presume they'll want you to come back for more.
I hope so. Someone said come back, but without the white coats.
Did they feel they were a little bit...
I don't know. Yeah, it was funny. I was a bit... they said at first, I said, well, GPs don't actually wear white coats. I mean, I hadn't worn a white coat since I worked in a hospital. But, it was very much something they wanted. And I can understand why they did it. I realised at the end of the show that I'd got a coat that was a size too big for me. I tried on Sinead's at our last day of filming and realised hers actually fit me. So.
And did yours fit her?
No, you see, mine was a size bigger. I thought I was a size bigger than Sinead, but as it turns out, white coats are very generous.
Here come the women in the white coats.
Yeah.
Shall we get down to business? Lots of texts in. I've put on weight in the last few years. I've started to get sores and rashes in between my thighs. They're rubbing together and it's so uncomfortable. When I come home, I've got to change into soft pyjamas. I've tried talcum powder and creams, but they're just not helping.
Yeah, it's a form of dermatitis, or often what we refer to as intertrigo, which is very similar to nappy rash, to be honest. It can be the friction in the skin, but also it can be because it's an area where people sweat, it can get moist and you're more prone to fungal infections. So sometimes using the likes of like Caniston cream or a mild hydrocortisone can help. You're absolutely right, wearing cotton fabrics, so pajamas, things that don't allow too much friction. Jeans and things are the worst. Those heavy cotton fabrics can make it even worse. But obviously one of the main issues is trying to get on top of the weight, unfortunately, because if the friction isn't there, it won't be as much of a problem. But there are some creams, and if it's very bad, do talk to your doctor. We sometimes prescribe slightly stronger steroids just to reduce the inflammation.
Yeah, okay, good. A friend of mine has become paranoid. Tech says he's worried about work, thinks that his boss is watching him all the time and other strange things, really, that can't be real. How should I approach him about this? It's not real worries, but I don't want to turn him against me. I'm fairly sure he needs medication.
Yeah, look, paranoia can be a feature of a number of things. Obviously, schizophrenia is one that people think of, and it is a very treatable illness, so it is important to encourage people to get help. Unfortunately, say in schizophrenia, a lot of people, when they have this paranoia and delusions, and a delusion is that they believe something and there's no swaying them from their belief, it can be very hard to convince them that they need help. And obviously, at the extreme, some people need to be sort of certified in order to get help. Paranoia can also be a feature of depression. If people are feeling very down and anxious, they can start to feel quite paranoid about what people think about them. I've seen a lot of people who are going through, say, very difficult situations at work, you know, particularly if there's bullying and that involved, they can suddenly start to worry what other people in the office are saying or what they're thinking. And I've heard people saying, like, I don't go into the canteen anymore because I'm really worried what people are talking about. So it is worth definitely being an ear to that person to see what's going on, to talk to them, say, you know, instead of, I think you can't shut someone down and say that's not true. It makes them very defensive and they may then become paranoid about you. It's just to say, well, look, you have these worries, you know, maybe you should talk to someone about them. Maybe they can help you with them. Maybe they can help resolve the situation. And encourage them, offer to go with them to talk to somebody, and that can help explore the issue even more. The other thing I would always say is whether there's any drug use. Marijuana is particularly associated with paranoia, and it's a drug that often leads people to feeling quite paranoid, along with other obviously hallucinogenic drugs. So the person's lifestyle would be important to take into account as well.
And would that be a GP issue, or would
always
that be
start with your GP? I mean, if someone has, you know, if as a GP, if I feel someone is paranoid and has schizophrenic symptoms, we would always refer to psychiatry. Yeah. It's very much an area that needs specialist.
So you're the stepping
referral.
Stone to the psychiatrist.
Yeah, but always start with your GP. GPs are trained in psychiatry. They're trained to recognise these symptoms and to refer on.
Okay, good. Nina, I went to see a doctor recently as I have a chest infection I can't get rid of. I have finished my antibiotic and I don't feel any better. Should I go and get another course of antibiotics?
Okay, I think it was just they were on the radio talking yesterday about, remember that most chest infections are not bacterial. So if you have a cough and a cold and a runny nose and you've taken an antibiotic and you're no better, it is most likely that it was a virus to start with, okay? So quite often as well, if you've had a cough, and say you even had a bacterial infection, the cough can linger for 3-4 weeks after. So the cough doesn't automatically go away a week after the antibiotic. If you're still congested, if you have a runny nose, maybe taking an antihistamine or a decongestant will help. But if you really feel you're bringing stuff up and you're not well, go back to your doctor, let them examine you, but don't assume you'll automatically need an antibiotic. That may not be the case.
Embarrassing question for the doctor. I'm a male in my mid-30s. I've spoken to my GP about this for years in referrals. Blood, urine and physical tests, everything is okay, but I do get an intense pain around my tailbone or anal region and also erection after climax. I have a long and ongoing back injury. Could it be connected or is it in my head?
Well, no, I don't think pain. I mean, if you feel pain, it's unlikely to be in your head. I mean, it could be if you have a back injury, or certainly if you've had a fall, if it's coccygeal injury, which is the tailbone, mm-hmm. that can lead to shooting pains down into the anal area. So it's definitely worth talking to your doctor. Did he say he'd had a scan? I mean, sometimes they'll do an MRI to have a look at the area, see is there any pinching of nerves, which certainly could cause some pain. If it's deep anal pain, sometimes seeing a colorectal surgeon just to see is there any sort of deep fissure, or sometimes you can get an abscess, a paraanal abscess, which can cause pain. So there are a number of things in that area that can cause pain. Don't ignore it. Blood tests wouldn't really tell you a lot about anal pain, to be honest. So it'd be more direct examination, scans, and physio is always a great place to start if you suffer with back pain as well.
So he needs to take it up a gear by the sounds of it.
Just say because the blood tests are normal, because there aren't many blood tests will diagnose
that area.
Problems with back pain and anal pain, yeah.
Nicola wants to know, says, I suffer from insomnia and anxiety. I don't get much sleep. I get under 6 hours a night.
Yeah, insomnia, you know, God, I just in the last 2 days I saw 3 people who had insomnia of varying ages. It's, you know, I always say to people, sleep deprivation is a form of torture, okay? So it's not to be underestimated the impact it has on your life. And then often people who aren't sleeping start to become anxious about the fact that they're not sleeping. So they lie awake in bed thinking, oh my God, I have all this to do tomorrow. I'm not going to sleep. Tomorrow is going to be terrible. And it drives the anxiety. Do go along to your GP. We talk a lot about sleep hygiene, so we can give you advice on how to kind of, you know, maximize your chance of falling asleep. Cognitive behavioural therapy, which we use for other anxiety disorders, can actually help in sleep disorders. So again, refer to a therapist who has an interest in CBT can really help. There are sleep specialists around the country, sort of some of the more extreme forms of insomnia, some very rare forms that run in families, etc. So you can be referred on. Don't assume a sleeping tablet's going to be the answer. It rarely is. We only prescribe them if we do for a very short time, because people who take them regularly actually sleep worse than those who don't. Alcohol is not a solution. It helps you fall asleep, but you have a less restful sleep. It's classic people who drink alcohol, fall asleep, and then wake up and don't go back to sleep. Mm. So, but don't, you know, don't sit at home saying, I just have to deal with this, because you don't. There are solutions, and go and talk to your doctor. Simple things like keeping your room the way it should be, a comfortable bed, comfortable sheets, yeah. The window open, keeping the room cool. These things are actually very important from a sleep point of view.
Yeah. Do you get a bad hangover, do you, when you, if you ever go out? No, I wouldn't say you go on the tear too often, but do you know what?
Actually, I was, funnily enough, came back from the States and I was invited over to, very nicely, to take part in a women's leadership forum in Rome, which was really exciting.
Very nice.
So on our, I brought my husband with me because we hadn't been away together in a long time. So yeah. On our second night, we went out to watch the Ireland-South Africa rugby match.
Yes, which was a great game as well.
Hence away without the children. I had a big night out that I had not had in a long time. Now I'm a very cheap date, Ryan, because
you're very mouse-like in size.
And I will tell you, yes, the next morning when I woke up, I remembered why I don't like drinking. We had a great night and we met some really wonderful people. We ended up going out with 2 other Irish guys who were over there. So it was me and 3 men. So you haven't a hope really, have you?
Well, there's a night out.
I was listening to your stories of the boat, actually. I spent summers in Newport, so I have stories of boats as well.
I bet you do.
Anyway, I had that headache, and I get sick, Ryan. I get the stomach thing.
You get the vomiting.
And I had to get on a plane and come home.
And did you use the bag in the plane?
No, it wasn't that bad.
Well, so the vomit, MacPuke.
It's the worst, the kind of vomit where you don't vomit. You know that feeling that you don't vomit.
Bilious, yeah.
Yeah. I do get hangovers.
That's a curse, because
that's why I avoid them.
Which is great. I'm very fortunate that I don't really get that bad hangover, but just what I do get is I get there to be tiredness because of the lack of
sleep. Oh, yeah, the exhaustion.
The sleep is rubbish,
as
you say.
I had like 3 hours sleep after that night as well.
Yeah, exactly. And then but that's a horrible hangover.
Yeah, it's hard. Yeah, I mean, it just reminded me, I got up and I turned and I said, now I know why I don't do this.
But you know, there's a certain...
And it wasn't it was a long night. It wasn't like I was, because I don't really drink that much wine. I drink quite slowly, but it's just the match, we went out at like 5 and I think we got in at 3 in the morning. So it was just a long...
That's a great night out though. I love when those...
It was a great night and it was totally spontaneous actually. It wasn't planned. So.
It was worth getting. It was worth a bit of pain for the crack that you had. But I find, you know, sometimes when I go out with the guys here, if we go out very rarely and we have to work the next day, and you know, I'm very good at that. I can do that. But honestly, it's swear now that they were, for the most part, now you're all right, Jack, in fairness. You've had your face stuck in 6 packets of potato for the day, but the others will be, oh, I'm so over. It's a totally, I think that part, most of it is psychology. It's in the mind.
No, I can't function very well.
No, you can. You can talk your way out of a hangover. You don't have to have. Now, one of them has mastered the art of hiding it really well, and it's not you, Waller. Lorraine always has a very dignified hangover, but the drama sometimes, especially with the newbies. If you get a newbie, they're very wet behind the ears. Yeah, they need to be trained in how to do it properly with a bit of... Now, back to more serious issues.
Back to more serious issues, which, of course, you recommend not drinking excess alcohol.
Yes. So we don't recommend it at all, but we are Irish and we're all adults here. Now, question for Nina. I have a 9-year-old daughter. She's a very pronounced tummy. She's got blood tests for celiac and Crohn's. All came back clear. She's always tired and sluggish.
Does she mean that, pronounced, I presume she means that she has more of a pot belly than... Yeah.
Sounds like it.
Some children who are very slim do look like they have a larger stomach. I mean, I'm assuming the GP has examined her stomach and doesn't feel that she warrants an ultrasound or anything. If she's otherwise perfectly healthy, I wouldn't be overly concerned. If she's complaining of stomach pains or, you know, did she say the bowels are sluggish there? It might be no harm just getting an ultrasound, but it doesn't really sound like there's anything wrong. I mean, there are people of different shapes and sizes, and particularly people who are slim can often look like they have a bigger tummy.
So maybe she's just growing up.
It could be just normal, yeah.
Is it true that teenagers are more tired than regular people, if you know what I'm saying?
But yesterday I read the study.
They get tired.
There were some studies in the last few years that suggested that secondary school should start later in the day because teenagers naturally don't do very well first thing in the morning. There's some research into that maybe secondary schools should sort of run from 11, you know.
But it's funny because I've noticed my teenager would have been fairly sprightly of a morning and just once the teenage years kicked in. And it's not an insolent thing. It's not challenging. Thing. It's just tired. You know, I totally understand that.
I think they're more busy as well.
It's a teenage thing. Yeah.
I mean, they're doing more. They're busier in school. They have more homework than they're busy socializing. They're doing sports and activities. They might not eat as well as they should. A lot of them don't drink as much water as they should. That's the other thing that makes you tired. They tend to stay up later. They're more active on their screens. You know, see, I do notice my daughter's 12 now in 2 weeks. And yeah, she's definitely harder to get up in the morning.
You can see it just bit by bit. Nina, I have a 9-year-old boy with Down syndrome and has recently developed a reflux problem. It seems it could be a dairy intolerance. Is this normal at this age?
Well, I wouldn't say dairy intolerance is normal, no. But people are intolerant of different foods. I'm always a little wary when people say dairy intolerance because particularly at that age group when they're growing, it's really important to get enough dairy for their bones. So I think a lot of people go to, nutritionists, and I use that term lightly because there are some excellent nutritionists in Ireland, but unfortunately, dietitian is the protected term, which means that anyone can call themselves a nutritionist. And a lot of people I would see are allergic to wheat, dairy, and yeast. And I'm always a little bit worried when these are blanketly cut out. So I would go to your doctor, have a general check. You can certainly be referred for allergy tests. Some people are milk intolerant but fine with other dairy. Because say cheese and yogurts, the lactose is broken down by the enzymes in that. So just don't cut out dairy completely. If you really feel that every time he eats something dairy he's a problem, then okay, maybe taking a break from it, but obviously make sure that you supplement calcium because it is very important.
Okay, there's so many food intolerance out there nowadays, aren't there?
It's really common, Ryan. We're seeing it more and more. And I think as GPs, we used to write it off and we used to sort of say, oh, allergies, it's only if you collapse in front of me, even allergy. I think really we have to be a little less arrogant about that. We have to realise there are intolerances. In IBS now, we have a thing called the low FODMAP diet, which where people cut out a whole range of foods and then slowly reintroduce them and they realise there are certain foods that trigger these symptoms in some people. But don't do it on your own. Do it with medical advice. There are some very good allergy specialists in Ireland now.
How did our parents survive without all these allergies?
Yeah, I don't know, but I do remember my mum giving my sister goat's milk because she had really bad eczema, so I think those things were there.
Different.
But
isn't
probably
it,
less talked about. And goat's milk, you know, actually doesn't make any difference. But we do now know that, you know, skin conditions and asthma and things are associated with certain allergies. But I'm just always very wary at people just cutting out food groups in children. Okay. And I think it needs to be done under medical advice.
Okay, good. I'm hoping to get a full NCT done health-wise. Members of my family have been quite ill with cancer. I'm just getting worried about everything now. And I'm 31 years old, female. Best overall test to get done, please? Where should I go?
Okay, there is no test that I can do that will tell you you don't have cancer. And that's the truth of it. We could do a whole body scan, blood tests for everything, and in a month you could be diagnosed with cancer. And so that's the important thing. It's important to put life in perspective. Certainly go start with your GP, go for a general health check, let them talk about your family history. There are some strong family histories that warrant closer follow-up, closer screening. What I always say is be aware of your body. Any symptoms that are worrying you, go and get checked. But it is also important not to live in fear about what you might get, because yeah, that, you know, impacts your quality of life. And as you know, I'm all about quality of life. None of us is going to live forever. It's about the quality we have in the years we have. And you can become, I've seen people become extremely anxious about their health and they're not getting to live today because they're worrying about what's going to happen tomorrow. Yeah. So go to your doctor, have a chat. There are obviously, you know, a lot of the hospitals do health checks and they do suit some people and they are, you know, they are quite good. They do a general health screening. A lot of companies are now offering these for staff. But, you know, don't think that you can go in and have a blood test. And I've been asked for top to toe scans, which, you know, most places will not do because they don't give you any answers. That, you know, as I said, you could be scanned top to toe and have a battery of blood tests and be diagnosed with cancer in a couple of months.
Okay.
Statistically, that's very unlikely to happen to a 31-year-old. So it is about putting things in perspective and also maybe looking at why you're so anxious about this right now.
Very good. Okay. The 39-year-old says, I have a throbbing in my testes. It isn't there all the time, but has been there for the last week or so. It is not really painful, just uncomfortable, and there's no pain while urinating.
Okay, there are a number of things that can cause testicular pain, and just go along and just let your doctor check your urine. Men can get epididymitis, which is inflammation of the tube around the testis, which can cause an ache. You can get varicose veins in your testis. Obviously, make sure there's no lumps in your testes. We talk about women checking their breasts. Men should check their testes as well. Mm-hmm. If the pain isn't settling, you'll probably be referred for an ultrasound just to make sure everything looks normal. And in most cases, this does settle down. Things like mumps and that can cause testicular pain. So obviously, if you've been exposed to that or haven't been vaccinated, it's worth keeping in mind as well.
On and off over the last year or so, I have a dull ache, not really a pain, on the right side of my rib cage to the side or back at about the level of just under my brow line. Are you with me?
Mm-hmm.
It is the type of ache that I do not need to take any pain relief for, and equally when I decide to go to the doctor, the ache is not there. What could this be? I have no other symptoms. I'm not tired. I have a good appetite. I have no problems with my bowel or urine. Nothing.
Sounds kind of muscular,
It
would be worth maybe when it's there trying to take something like paracetamol or ibuprofen and seeing does it go away. If it does go away with simple painkillers, it's very unlikely to be anything to worry about. But obviously a pain that is reoccurring, it's worth having your lungs listened to, make sure they sound fine. Simple things like often see mothers, you know, with young babies, if they're carrying the baby on one side, they're more prone to getting muscular pains side. So think about things like that. Is there something you're doing in your life at your desk, at work? Are you, you know, a lot of people who use a mouse will get pain across their right shoulder because they're using the mouse all the time at the desk. So there are simple things can cause recurrent pains. When the pain is there, try and keep a diary of it. Is there anything you've been doing, any activity you've been doing, anything associated with it? Because that will help your GP work out what the cause is.
Stephen's been on to say what might stop iPhone deleting your diary apps is go to settings, Select option mail/calendar, then scroll way down to sync, choose always.
Okay. And does that sync it to my computer?
So it seems.
This is why I love radio.
This is the beauty of live radio. That Stephen just goes, I know what I'll do. I'm not sick, but I want
to
help. I want to help her. She helps.
Thank you.
She who helps others shall be helped by me.
Thank you. I will try that. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Stephen. In fact, I'm going to take note of that one myself. Because that is kind of one of those annoying things. Valerie is joining us on the phone now and we'll say good morning to you. Valerie, how are you?
Hi, Ryan. How are you?
Nice to talk to you. Are you well?
I am very well, thank you.
And you have a 4-year-old son.
I do.
Morning, Valerie.
Morning, Nina. How are you?
Very well, thank
you. So talk to me about your little lad.
My little lad, Matty, he has DiGeorge syndrome. It's also known as 22q11 deletion syndrome.
What is that exactly?
It's a chromosomal genetic syndrome. It's the second most prevalent to Down syndrome. So Down syndrome, I think, is 1 in 800 births, and the George syndrome is 1 in every 2,000.
Right.
But it is one of those syndromes that not very well known across the medical profession, but hopefully now it is. We are trying to raise awareness of it, and it is becoming more well known. But it has a number of different symptoms.
Yes.
And you can get one, or you can get eight, or you can get... I think there's up to 181 different symptoms associated with it.
And what did you want to ask Nina?
I wanted to ask Nina, my little boy, part of the syndrome is he has very low immunity, and he's put on antibiotics over the winter months because literally as soon as someone sneezes, he'll get a chest infection. Mm. So he's put on a maintenance dose of antibiotics, but it kind of has its downsides as well because he's only four and he's had to have eight of his teeth removed due to enamel hyperplasia, I think it's called. But it's just due to continually using antibiotics.
Mm-hmm.
But I was just wondering, is there any other prolonged side effects from using antibiotics for such a long time?
Well, I suppose we talk a lot about antibiotics, and the one worry about using antibiotics on a prolonged basis is that you develop bugs that are resistant to those. So what antibiotic do they have them on? I mean, usually when it's a long... low dose, they do try and go for one that is not, say, as broad spectrum, you know, so that at least if he does get a nasty bug, they have options to give him stronger antibiotics to treat it. So what one do they have him on?
He's on azithromycin.
Azithromycin, yeah. So that would be along the lines of Clacid or clarithromycin would be another one people would be familiar with. I mean, azithromycin is a very good antibiotic. It actually covers quite a number of bugs. So, you know, in the end of the day, yes, we talk about it not being ideal for people to be on antibiotics, but when someone has a reduced immune system, they have to look at weighing the benefits versus the risks. And obviously for your son, the benefits of being on it outweigh the risks. Now, the good news is there are lots of antibiotics apart from azithromycin that can be used to treat any infection he gets. I mean, and the thing is about keeping him as well as he possibly can be. What does he have any other features of DeGeorge, or what other sort of symptoms does he have or problems or...
He was born with two holes in the heart, mm-hmm. and one closed by itself and the other one was closed by surgery.
Mm-hmm.
So his heart is brilliant, thank God.
Great.
And he has low immunity, and he also has learning difficulties and speech difficulties.
Sure. So again, you know, being on the antibiotic, obviously a lot of people who've had heart surgery and that would require antibiotics if they're going to the dentist mm-hmm. or anything, so that'll help protect him there as well. You know, there's nothing really, I suppose, if he has a genetic cause for a low immune system, it's not like it's something you can do to improve that. So it's really just about keeping him as well as you possibly can. And then obviously someone who has a reduced immune system, I know we're always sort of saying we shouldn't be prescribing antibiotics, but, you know, people who are on drugs for arthritis or who are on drugs for, you know, various cancers and that, we have a much lower threshold to go in and give a stronger antibiotic of infection. So all I would say is if there's any sign of him not being well, and it can be very subtle in a child with the syndrome. They can just seem off form, or, you know, they might not get a fever necessarily. Do go along to your doctor, because obviously he would need to be treated more quickly than, say, a child who didn't have a reduced immune system.
Yeah.
Is that okay for you, Valerie?
That's brilliant. Thank you.
Okay. And okay. How's your little your son? Is he okay? Is he a happy lad?
He is absolutely fantastic. He's
good.
A brilliant little boy.
The other thing, the last thing I was going to say is, I suppose, and it's worth talking to your own doctors, is whether they've recommended him taking some form of probiotics to help rebalance the bacteria in the gut. That there is more research going into those, and certainly particularly children who get diarrhea or who are on antibiotics, the strongest evidence of probiotics is in infants and young children, that when they're on antibiotics or when they've diarrhea, giving probiotics at that time, and I simply mean a yogurt, you know, a live yogurt, it doesn't have to be a supplement, can help support their gut bacteria.
Well, that's okay. Brilliant. I'll definitely bring that up.
I hope that's of some use to you, Valerie. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Take care. Okay. Have a good day. Thanks so much. Bye now. Bernadette, good morning to you.
Good morning, Ryan. How are you?
Very well. You have a 12-year-old.
Morning, Bernadette.
Hi, Nina. How's things? I have a 12-year-old boy that started secondary school this year now. He's quite active. He does... he was doing Gaelic up with his local club until it finished this year, and he's also doing soccer and rugby with the school, but he also does soccer with his local club. Now, he is very, very active, and he's the right weight and everything he should be for his age. It's just that in the last month or so, he has he's got very, very pale, mm-hmm. and he's gone around with big bags under his eyes. Now, I did start him on a multivitamin there about 2 weeks ago, and it doesn't seem to have improved. So I was just wondering, should I go and get his bloods checked there to see that he's lacking in something?
Yeah, I mean, if he's suddenly unusually tired and looking unwell, and certainly if he's complaining anything, it's worth going to the doctor for a checkup. I suppose one thing I'm always very aware of in that age group is glandular fever. It's a very common illness in early teens, and it can make them feel quite tired and drained. So yeah, that can be diagnosed on a simple blood test. And you know, a lot of people who are very active might be lower in iron, B vitamins. This time of year, vitamin D is another one I'm always aware of. So certainly, if it's going on more than a month and you've tried adding in a multivitamin, it doesn't seem to make a difference, I would think it's totally reasonable to go to your doctor and maybe have some blood tests done.
He is sleeping well at night time, but he's always complaining of being tired when he comes home from school. Now, I don't know, is it because he started secondary school this year and is the extra homework and stuff?
The transition is very difficult for a lot of people, and it's not just the workload, it's the social transition. So I'm always aware of their mental health at that time as well. Like, see, you know, has there been changes in friendships, which there often are in the transition to secondary school, how that's affecting him. So notice, is he withdrawing from hanging out with his friends? Has his circle of friends changed?
Socially, he's fine.
Great.
He's fine, yeah. He's good. And he's delighted with all the friends he's made, and he's quite popular at school, and he gets on with everyone then. You know, like, socially I have no problem with this, just that because he's just so pale and stuff like that, I don't know, is it because he's overdoing it with sports, or is it just the whole...
It can be just juggling everything, but as I said, it's no harm to go along and have a general check, and you know, bloods might be part of that.
Okay,
I'm going to
do that then. So,
all right.
Thanks very much.
Thank you, Bernadette. Take care.
Thanks, Brian.
Okay,
bye-bye.
Bye for now, it's Bernadette. And obviously, gazillions of more texts, but we've got to leave it there. Nina Burns, thank you so much for coming to see us again.
Thank you, Ryan.
And we'll talk to you in a couple of weeks' time. And thanks to everyone who sent in questions and so forth. We'll try again next time, is the best we can say, but we appreciate them all. And just too many to get to today.